Acts 16, verse number 22. It says, "And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, whom having received a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed." Everyone's bands were loosed. Amen, amen. I promise you I'm not going to be very long. I have a certain part that I want to get to rather quickly. And for a short period of time this morning, I want to preach to you. Worship is how my battle is won. Worship is how my battle is won. If you can put your Bibles down, I want to ask you to pray one more time. But again, I want it to be very focused prayer, not distracted prayer. I want young people and adults all alike, just join me in prayer and ask for God to have His way. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Amen. Can we clap our hands unto Him this morning? Oh, can we make a joyful noise unto the Lord this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, amen, amen. God bless you, and you may be seated here this morning. Amen, amen. So before I fully dive into my message, there's one more thing that I want to say. Amen, so what we put in is what we get out, right? But also, I want, if we can keep in our mind, just what kind of church do we want to have in this place, in New Life Tabernacle? Do we desire an absolutely apostolic and a passionate Pentecostal church here? Or do we just want to be like every other church? Just to be like every other church is pretty easy. They can show up and there's no power of God. There's no spirit. There's no anointing. But if we desire something to be new, if we desire something to be powerful, different from every other church, that starts with each and every single one of us. It starts with you young people. It starts with the adults. We can create an atmosphere for a powerful church here in Augusta. Amen. Amen. I fully believe that. I feel sometimes it's easy to get caught into a rut. Sometimes it's easy to get complacent. And sometimes it feels like it takes a lot of work. And sometimes it does, because the devil is not going to make it easy. Amen. I can tell you my faith has been, you can say, lifted. It's been encouraged hearing what pastor has been saying, with the men of God saying, hey, it's going to happen a lot quicker than you think. You need to get ready right now. And just makes me see, hey, all of this fighting, all of this pushing has not been for nothing. But the goal that we see, it's right there, church. Revival and souls coming into New Life Tabernacle is right there. These pews aren't going to be empty much longer. We're going to see an increase of souls. Hallelujah, Jesus, Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, amen. That's not what I came to preach this morning, but it's definitely what I was feeling in prayer to say, amen. But we serve a great God. We serve a God who genuinely cares about each and every single one of us. There is not one person that goes unnoticed from the eyes of God. Even from the babies all the way to the adults and to the elderly, there is not one person that God does not love and who he does not care about. He cares for everyone. Matthew 10 and 29 says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows." Many sparrows. So God cares so much that just a little sparrow, one sparrow falls and he cares. He sees it. He knows. He cares for it. And he said, "You are of many sparrows. Your worth is as many sparrows." He doesn't care. It doesn't matter what you're going through or how you are feeling or how down you are or depressed or what battles in life you face. My God has an all-seeing eye. He sees the pain that you are in. He sees the suffering that you're going through. And he knows. He cares. He's there for you every time and every day. Do not let the devil lie to you and say God has forgotten about you. My God is right by your side. He's never left your side. He will never forsake you or leave you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, can we worship him right now? In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen. We serve a mighty, great God. Amen. Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Amen. Proverbs 18:24 says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." I tell you, you might seem that brothers are pretty good friends and they're inseparable, especially when they're twins. But I'm telling you, there is a God who sticketh way closer than any brother. He sees the pain in your heart, which physical flesh cannot see. He sees the agony that you go through, the tears that you shed at night, the anxiety and the depression that you experience, and he feels it all. The Bible says that he bottles up every tear you cry. You are not forgotten, child of God. He loves you. He loves you. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. I'm telling you, the love of God is much further than we can experience. And sometimes, since God is, he's a spirit, and you know, he's much bigger, it's hard for us to understand God's ways. It says, "For his ways are not our ways, neither are his thoughts our thoughts." You know, that's it's hard to comprehend the love of God, just how far the love of God can extend and go to. Because as humans, that's why we have to be commanded by God to forgive. To forgive so many times, because it can be all too easy for us to hold a grudge. It can be all too easy when we've been hurt, when pain has been inflicted to us by someone else, whether emotional or just however it might be. It's hard for us to even let that go and forget about it. That's just human nature. But God, his love extends so far that no matter how many times that we have messed up, he continues just to forgive and forgive and forgive. And when we mess up again, there he is forgiving us one more time. When we sin over here, there he is one more time just forgiving us again. His love never, never wavers. Amen. John 3:16. Says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but hath everlasting life. Amen. There's also a verse in the Bible that talks about no greater love than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. So he's saying there's no greater love. That is the, if you can say it, the highest peak of love one can ever have. And yet God came and was the demonstration, was our example of this kind of love, giving himself up just to die for our sins, die for our wretchedness, where we were yet sinners, but God died for us. Amen, amen. Romans chapter number 8. I think all my life I've kind of read this verse wrong. I feel like I've always read this verse in Romans 8, and it is verse 38. And I've read it to where it's like, oh yeah, my love for God will never waver. I will always stand upon that. I will always love God for the rest of my life. But the more you read it and like pick it apart, it says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. So there is nothing in this earth that's going to be able to stand between you and the love of God. The devil can try to get in the way of the love of God, and he can't. There's nothing going to separate you from the love of God. Death cannot separate you from the love of God. Sickness cannot separate you from the love of God. There is nothing that shall be able to separate us from the love of God. So don't let the devil lie to you and say God does not love you, that he's not there anymore. He is by your side no matter when you don't feel like it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God is there every day. The love of God is eternal for us. Amen, amen. I also, before I get to the part that I really want to talk about, I want to try to encourage our faith. Because on the flip side as well, it's easy as humans, as life goes on, for our faith to falter and to fail. When we start coming, yeah, it takes faith to get the Holy Ghost. I believe in sometimes, like, it takes faith being here, believing there is a God that we cannot see or touch. You know, that takes faith on our part. But at the same time, I believe sometimes our faith can fail. And it's like, you know, God, I believe you are a God, but I just don't know if you have the power anymore that I need. I don't believe you're still in the miracle working business. God, there's something's wrong. I just don't think it's for me anymore. And it's easy for doubt and unbelief to start to come when we've came before him over and over again for the same problem. And it becomes easier and easier to be like, you know what? I'm not going to worry about getting prayed for anymore. I'm not going to even worry about praying for my situation anymore. I don't believe that God is, I show up to church, you know, to kind of feel good through the week, but when I leave, I just feel depressed because I still leave with my problems. I still leave the same way that I came, and your faith is failing. Your faith is falling. But the Bible says God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It also talks about that God is a man who cannot lie. So you tell me if it is possible that he forgets about your problems, if his power has faltered and failed, and he can't take care of your miracle. I'm telling you, that's a lie from hell. That's unbelief trying to get in. Unbelief is not of God. Unbelief will sit there and make you doubt everything that you ever believed in. Don't let unbelief come in. God can still do miracles. God can still take care of your problems. God can still heal. God can still just eliminate anything that you're struggling with today. Hallelujah, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen, amen. You can continue just to look at me and be like, but Micah, it's growing weaker every day. I just don't feel like I have a lot of faith anymore. We haven't seen a miracle in this church in so long, you know, a couple months or however long, Brother Micah. It's been too long since we've seen someone get the Holy Ghost. I don't even know if us having revival is a real thing. When I was praying last night, I started praying against every spirit that wants to try to hold this place down. Because that is the devil's agenda. He doesn't want us to see us make it to heaven. If miracles start happening in this place, it's going to get out of these four walls. If miracles start happening, you're going to have a testimony to tell someone else. And then they're going to want to come see what's going on. And then God has the chance to fill them with the Holy Ghost. It's our duty to stand up against that spirit. Say, God, I believe. God, I have faith tonight. I believe in Jesus' name. Oh, can we worship him right now? Oh, come on, clap your hands. Worship God right now. Let your faith build right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. Matthew 17, verse 19 says, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto him, because of your unbelief. It's right there. He called it right out. He didn't even have to think about it. He said, you have unbelief in you. It might be a little, might be a lot, but either way, you have unbelief. He said, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, just a tiny seed, first off, my eyesight's really bad. I'm blind. I can't see really well. But at the same time, if you put one mustard seed in a bag and you gave it to somebody with great vision and you just hold it a couple feet away, it's really difficult to see that mustard seed. Mustard seeds are so tiny. So it's telling me that their unbelief was great, or it was a little bit of unbelief and they had no faith, since mustard seed is so small. But he said, if you have it just like a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. I started thinking as well, it talks about the faith as if just little children. And those of you with kids, you understand that when you tell your kids something, they really don't understand sarcasm or, you know, that sort of humor. That when you tell them, they take you literal. They take you straight to the point, like, hey, I believe, like, I told my kids on Thursday that we were going to go to the zoo. And I was like, but it's going to be on the weekend. We're going to go on Saturday. They woke up Friday morning. First thing they knew, hey, we're going to the zoo. It's like, no, that's on Saturday. Like, we got to go on Saturday. But they remembered, hey, Dad said he's taking me to the zoo. I have no reason to question Dad. We're going to the zoo. He said it. We're going to do it. And I believe that's the kind of faith that we need to have when we come into church. That's not super easy, maybe, per se, but at the same time, if we can just walk into church with the belief of just a little child, and be like, hey, God said he's going to heal my body. I believe him. I'm going to get my body healed right now. God said that he can heal cancer. I think God can do it right now. God said he can heal my loved one, or he can save him. I believe he's good. There's zero reason for me to doubt that God is not going to do it. Therefore, I'm going to present my problem with no unbelief, with no doubt. I'm going before him like a child. Amen, amen. I believe that it's hard to have that, but I fully believe that with my whole heart. I promise y'all, I have struggled with my faith in the past. Like, God, I haven't seen a miracle. You know, like, boy, I mean, sometimes I wonder if you're even still possible to do it. You know, and it's just, okay, with that mentality and attitude, he's definitely not going to do it. It's going to take just everybody, your unbelief, man, that getting rid of that spirit of unbelief and presenting to God, you know what, God? I've got faith right now. Now, faith, you're going to do it. Amen, amen. James 1:6 says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Hebrews 13:8, we've already gone over it. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen. This means that we are serving the same God that rose Lazarus from the dead. This means that we are serving the exact same God. No changes, no differences. Who healed blind Bartimaeus' eyesight. This is the same God that caused the deaf to hear and the lame to walk. This is the same exact God that's healed my knee when I tore my meniscus. This is the same God that healed me of just something as little as little asthma attacks. This is the same God that healed my little boys when they were so sick in the hospital. That's even more recent. What I'm saying is there's no changes. This same God can still do it today. This same God has no changes. He can do it for you this morning. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Mark chapter 9 and verse 21. He says, and he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child, and oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. You can kind of see this guy's unbelief right now. He says, but if you can do anything, please have compassion and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out, and he said with tears, he said, God, help now my unbelief. Help down my unbelief. So it was kind of an exchange of, God, I want to believe if you can. And he's like, well, all you really have to do is believe. And he's like, I don't know if I can, but what I can't do, God, my unbelief, I pray that you just take it away and let me believe, God. And the Bible says when Jesus saw people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out and enter no more unto him. I'm telling you, if you're struggling with your faith this morning and you're still doubting what I'm preaching this morning, I'm telling you, all you might have to do is come up and start praying to God to help your unbelief. Say, God, I want to believe, Lord. I really want to believe. Help my unbelief this morning, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, let's worship him right now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I don't have much longer, but we can see in our text, Acts 16 says, and the multitude rose up against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison. Life's not really easy on us. As you can see, at first, before they were imprisoned, they were beaten, and they were laid. They laid many stripes on them with no clothes on. Now that's straight whips to their bare backs. They're getting absolutely whooped, and then they're getting thrust into a prison, and they're getting put in the furthest part of the prison with their feet shackled on. The world is not easy on us. Satan is not easy. He attacks us, gets us to our lowest points. Amen. But I want to skip down. It says at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. It starts off by prayer. Prayer is so important. If you're ready to break out of your jail, if you're ready to win your battle, prayer is important. You can't expect everyone else to always keep praying for you when you're going through your situation. You've got to also pray for yourself. Coming into these doors on Tuesday nights in prayer is important. Getting connected in pre-service prayer, every single service, is just as important. Prayer is what's going to start everything. Prayer is going to start making the atmosphere spin. It's going to start making it eligible for something to happen. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Prayer is a vital piece of communication and connecting to God. It says the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The fervent prayer. Fervency comes when we get in the spirit, when we lose all distractions and we just start to focus on God and we start praying and connecting in the Holy Ghost, just praying out loud
Fervency, that word means energy, praying with an energy. Oh, God, teach us to pray. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I'm not trying to beat on something Pastor has preached a lot of, but this is something we cannot let slide, because this is something the devil is going to attack over and over again. If he can just get you to shut your mouth, if he can just get you to be quiet in your prayer, then there's nothing going to happen. You show me a place where it's super quiet, and I'll show you a place where no miracles are happening. I'll show you a place where the Spirit of God is lacking. That's just like every other church. But something happens when the children of God start to pray and praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Worship is another vital component to getting set free, is to winning your battle. Because after they prayed, it said they sang praises unto God. They sang praises unto God. The Bible says in Psalms 149, let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and the harp. Worshiping God is very vital. And you said, Brother Michael, when I'm in the thick of things, I don't feel very much like worshiping God. Do you think Paul and Silas felt like worshiping God? They've been beaten to bloody pulps. They're in the back of a prison. They've got shackles on their feet. But yet something in them started singing and praising and praying to God. That's the important part of your praise. That's how powerful your praise can be. Oh, let's stand and start praising him right now. Oh yes, come on. Come on, I know it's super difficult in the midst of trials and tribulation and just hard times. Come on, it's hard to praise, but that's when it's important. Not only were all these things, it was midnight. They're probably tired, but they started praising anyhow. I encourage you to come to the front. Start praising God like you've never praised him before.